Pitter patter.
Let's get at her.
Hey there, Christy. How are you now?
Good, and you?
Not so bad.
All right.
Welcome back to A Thinking Person's Guide to Letterkenny. This is 22nd episode of
Dose.
Yeah.
That's what the kids say.
It's, yeah.
Yep.
So we're here with you to discuss season 5, episode 4, Letterkenny Spelling Bee.
Yes.
And I know it probably you felt pretty hard done by the fact that not only did you have to do Hard Right J episode last week, but then by just the happenstance of our alternative,
right?
You didn't get to do Letterkenny Spelling Bee.
Yes, which is oddly one of my favorite episodes.
Probably, yeah. The only one that you repeatedly referred to.
I do. I refer to it more than any other episode.
And I assume that's the legacy of being an English teacher and just an all-around nerd.
Yeah, but also I just love how Wayne, I just love his refrain throughout the entire episode. And that's the thing I quote.
Well, you've always said. Yeah. You've always been very committed to hydration.
Yes. Stay hydrated.
Yeah. So, before we get into the episode, do we have any unfinished business, or
do we want to talk about our things that anger you about the city? Or
is that what the segment's called? the things that raise your ire about Western Pennsylvania? No.
That's a good title. Things that raise Dwight's ire.
The irksome elements of Western PA.
You seemed like you didn't want me to call it shit that pisses you off about Pittsburgh.
I did take a little bit of exception to that.
Yeah, you don't really like that title.
Yeah.
So
okay, irksome elements.
Irksome elements
of Western PA.
Of Western PA.
I can't remember if anything's come up of late.
I do.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, you have been. Yeah. Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Last week when we were in the car driving, there were so many things about Pittsburgh drivers that pissed you off to the point that I felt badly for you because you were just so upset by all of the things.
Yeah, I don't recall any.
So you were pissed about just like there's a lot of shithousery that happens on the roads.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of shithousery that happens on all roads.
No,
but in Pittsburgh.
Definitely the South Hills.
Yeah, they're compounded here because we get the people who just like do whatever they want. So it started with the lady who crossed 51,
which is a
four-lane state road.
Right.
And she just like slowly crosses in
just
front of us.
Just ambled across it.
Right.
And, like, yeah.
People are going 50 miles an hour,
yeah.
And she just
yeah.
takes her time coming
and
out of
across
Dunkin'
it to go
Donuts.
The other way. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And Dunkin', then yeah. I blew my horn at her, and she gave us a very strange gesture as a reaction,
mm-hmm.
which I said we should go back and talk to her about it.
Mm.
You did not think that was a good idea.
No,
I just wanted to be like, I have questions.
Yeah.
She did the like lick my pussy thing, like put her fingers on either side of her tongue. We couldn't understand, like, well, wait, so I blew my horn at you and now you want me to lick your pussy?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Logically, it doesn't follow.
And
so.
I thought women, it really erodes the whole idea that women are more evolved than men. I've long subscribed to that theory in general, but this really punched a significant hole in that.
She was a definite yinzer.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that, and then not like 5 minutes later, there was something where like the guy. Somebody like stopped traffic to let me over, which is a thing that pisses you off because Pittsburghers, and especially in the South Hills, are too friendly and it fucks up the flow of traffic.
Yeah, too friendly is the too nice way to put it because
yes.
it's this facade of like, no, you go ahead. I'll fucking interrupt the whole flow of a normal city just to appear as though I'm the one person who has a heart. And it's so transparently narcissistic.
It's narcissistic, but it's also
oh no, it's so common.
It's as to so be common.
A standard by which it, presumably everybody's been enculturated here.
Right. Anybody will let you out.
Yeah. And that means that
But the stop and go traffic is only worsened by people who are letting people in and out of the lanes.
Right.
When I was
Worst is when then you have the I'm cooler than you off. Or the
I'm nicer than you.
No, I'm not nicer. I'm more benevolent than thou.
No, you go.
No, you go.
That happens.
And you can just see the traffic stacking up behind each of them, and they're just
the whole road is stopped while two people wave each other. Yeah. No, you go first. And one person did not need to stop. They could have just kept going.
And if they had gone, the second person would have gone in due order.
When traffic paused, right? When there was a break in traffic.
And
So there was the Yinzer who gave us the odd gesture. Then there was somebody who let me over.
Yeah.
And then because traffic was so backed up at the intersection, I did one of my favorite Yinzer moves of I knew if I used the other lane, I could take the back alley and then connect to the main road a few lights down, which doesn't really bother you, but I did give you a warning because I was like, you're going to see some squirrely maneuvers here.
And yeah, you
I felt I had to give you a heads up.
You're a product of your time and place.
No, I'm a good Pittsburgh driver.
Good?
Yep.
That's an interesting use of terms.
Possibly one of the best.
Effective, yes. consistent with the norms of your local society, yes. Good, that's another discussion. but to go back to the previous point noted, the woman who cut out the Dunkin' Donuts at a snail's pace,
she had
the turning lane. So she had the suicide lane at her disposal.
Yeah.
In that context, any person who knows anything about driving in the modern world pulls into that quickly, avoids interrupting the flow of traffic, and you've got that space to set until you need it to make sure you can get you safely into the lane that you want to. And she did not do that.
No,
she
was like, that was the problem.
Because
she decided that she needed to go slow enough so that she could wait for the oncoming traffic to pass so she could get into the other lanes the way she wanted,
just directly,
ignoring the suicide lane, which put like 15 people's lives at risk. So
And especially that point where people are speeding up because it's somewhat of a straightaway there.
Yeah, exactly.
On Highway 51 / Sawmill Creek Boulevard / Claret Sawmill Run, of course. Yeah, a thing that no other buddy else uses anywhere in America. Call a creek a run. Okay, fine, whatever. Local color, I'm fine. I'm cool with that. Whatever. Sawmill Run Boulevard, Claritin Boulevard, aka the backyard of the South Hills.
It is the backyard of the South Hills. I mean, you could also call it like Levitsky's Road. If anybody's from the South Hills in Pittsburgh listening, they'll know what I mean. That's another thing in Pittsburgh. Every road has like three names. Because you have like what it was initially called before it was actually paved. And then, you know, your grandmama still calls it that because her grandmama called it that. So you call it that.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, what Google calls it.
Or what Google calls it for a portion of it. And then
it does change on 51.
It's a single road, but it becomes another road, another name at another point. Yeah, so you're right. Those points did come up.
Yeah.
And thank you for
you're welcome. I
dragged me back into that very dark place. Honestly,
you're welcome.
Has to happen pretty much every time I drive around because some sort of shithouse.
Yeah, there's always shithouse.
Yeah. So that's true. And hi, circus dog.
Shootsy would like to get involved in today's recording.
Yeah, he's. He's pretty.
He's like, why aren't we hanging out? We should be hanging out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a pretty special weekend. He got a lot of attention, but then he got ignored for big chunks of it.
So now he's.
Yep. So and the other segment that we've devised of late, the shit that comes out of Christy's mouth. I think you have a couple other contributions.
I don't don't know. Do we? I mean, I don't know. We did write two down. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they're even that good.
Good. Again, another discussion. appropriate. Good does not enter into criteria, I don't necessarily think. But they are apropos of the topic. Mm-hmm. They are indicative of your inimitable relationship with the English language.
It's all relative.
Yeah, it is when it comes to you, because it seems to be there's different rules apply. But I can't even remember the context in which you used that one old nugget, classic Turner phrase. I don't have a horse in this fight. And I do remember I don't remember the context.
No.
Maybe you do.
But we were talking about, it was some conflict.
And I looked at you. My only thought was, I don't know. What world are you that horses are fighting?
We were talking about a conflict between two people. And I was saying that, like, I don't really care which way it goes.
No, I understand. What I wanted to say. Yeah, right. Yeah, but yeah, I understand you don't have a dog in the fight. Because dogs are...
I don't have a horse in this
Because dogs are renowned for some breeds, especially, and for being relatively competitive, competitive species. Mm-hmm. Horses, not so much.
Yeah, they don't usually fight.
I mean, they're worthy supporters of human fights.
Yeah.
But they don't really take sides themselves.
No, they don't.
So maybe that proves that this is a perfect example.
I don't have a horse in this fight.
Right.
Because horses don't.
Right, it's a double.
It's a double horse reference.
Yeah.
What? I don't know what's happening. So there was that. But that's pretty typical of, like, I just mix up the words.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, today I said, oh, when it gets warm, to my brother, me, you, and Pap, we can go shoot balls. And I meant drive golf balls.
She did. But she said shoot balls.
I said shoot which,
balls. Which, yeah. Your brother and I... eyes met.
Yeah.
We weren't exactly sure.
What is she saying?
What that meant.
The shit that comes out of her mouth. Yeah.
And he's a little more inured to it.
He's used to it.
I'm a relatively newcomer to this whole
This
whole bewildering universe that is
Christy's the shit that comes out of Christy's mouth.
And he's a little less responsive to that. Yeah. Okay, well, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
All right, so to the episode?
To the episode at hand, right? All right, so...
Stay hydrated.
What?
I just wanted you to stay hydrated before you start talking.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's wise. It's and consistent with the... So we begin the introduction to the episode with Wayne in his kitchen. Mm-hmm. And he says, your friend Derry said he could... beat up your friend Dan the other day. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very specific reference. Then we cut to all the Hicks sitting in the historic Ukrainian center.
Yes.
At the bar.
Yeah.
Their new local haunt.
Drinking spot.
And Wayne's thought is, yeah, you're dreaming, bud. Meaning that there's no way he thinks Derry could take Squirrely Dan.
No way he believes that
Derry could. But Derry's convinced he can. Mm-hmm. And they go back and forth around and around. At one point, Bonnie McMurray interjects by saying, well, they could leg wrestle.
Right? This is how we could figure out.
Right.
And Wayne says,
if they're both on the ground rubbing their legs together, they both lost.
Yeah, so Katie says, well, they could arm wrestle.
Yeah,
and then Bonnie says they could leg wrestle.
Because Wayne discounts the idea of arm wrestling because he doesn't believe it fully accounts for actual strength, nor
He said you're either born a good arm wrestler or you aren't.
Right, yeah. It doesn't account for strength or toughness.
Yes.
Is what he says.
That's what he said. You're right.
Yeah. So then they then Bonnie McMurray suggests leg wrestling, to which Wade responds, as we previously noted. Right? Then at that point, Joint Boy and Tyson come in.
Yes.
And they weigh in. Pretty much everybody but Tyson says that Squirrely Dan would take Derry.
Yeah.
So Tyson's the only one who thinks it Derry would, because he's light on his feet and he has a greater reach.
Yes, and not opposed to hair pull probably, or nut punch.
Yes, yeah, right. Which all is probably true, but I don't know if anybody was convinced by the argument necessarily. Then Bonnie McMurray asks who between those two, Tyson and Joint Boy, would win. They both say me. Mm-hmm. Then they're both surprised that the other one would say themselves.
Then they say you.
And then me.
And then
Tyson headbutts him. And they both pass out. And that ends the introduction with Wayne saying, now there's a good friend. Because his contention was that that Squirrely Dan and Derry should just have it out and figure it out that way and be done with it. And that would be what good friends would do.
Right, yeah.
So they've succeeded in accomplishing just what he...
Right, so yeah, that scene basically shows us that Tyson and Joy Boy are very good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that Wayne is opposed to leg wrestling under all conditions.
Yeah, yeah. I think I could sign off on that. No, not all conditions. Anything above, I'd say, like age 12.
Right. Like, did you and your brothers leg wrestle when you were kids?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's something you do. And, you know, summer camp, you might get up to that such hijinks and stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You've leg wrestled with non-relatives?
I can't remember any specific time that I did, but I can imagine it would have happened. Yeah. Yeah.
I've never leg wrestled.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I have arm wrestled, and I have thumb wrestled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pretty good at the thumb wrestling.
Yeah. We call that thumb war.
Oh, shit. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. There it is again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just roll to Christie, isn't it?
Wait, no. Are you sure it's not?
Well, we also called leg wrestling Indian wrestling. So that was... Yeah,
we don't want to...
That's
bad.
Covered by the times.
God bless the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So. All right. So...
Right?
All right, so to the next scene.
We go back to the kitchen at the farmhouse with the Hicks, Wayne, Derry, and Squirrely Dan playing cribbage.
Mm-hmm.
And admit that I didn't understand all the ins and outs of this. Cribbage player myself, but they do their usual, one-two skidoo rhyme scheme thing where they count their points and have something else to say about it. But Squirrely Dan's is that he's got nothing.
Right.
And so his point is card total is 19, which he says is virtually impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I don't know what else they came up with a song.
Yeah, they sing a song about 19.
Yeah, right.
Which was like funny to listen to, but I don't get any of the reference.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, well, this is fun, but I don't know what they're saying, and I don't know cribbage at all.
Yeah, and I assume that's part of the joy of the series too, is that there's stuff like that do escape you,
right?
That are only for the truly insiders. That maybe right? What,
if we played cribbage, more.
10 people might actually get.
Yeah,
but beyond that, it the rest of us are at a loss. Like the next thing they say when they talk about the weather, and mm-hmm. Wayne says it's down to about 10 Neil deGrasse Tysons. And this initiates a running theme throughout the episode where everybody refers to it being down to about 10 dot, dot, dots.
Right. Some play on the word degree.
Degree, but no actual...
Never is the word degree said.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson is the connective tissue, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... Terry asks where Katie's been all day while they've been sitting around playing cards, to which initiates a long string of references to popular Canadian singer and or singer-songwriters.
Singer-songwriter, right? We get a lot.
Their lyrics.
Yes.
The first of which is Wayne's reference to Alanis Morissette and her inimitable question or statement that you ought to know.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Listener, I know that's off key. I'm sorry, but I still had to do it.
Yeah. And it goes to the to Blue Rodeo, which I mean, that was another Canadian band I'd never heard of.
Yeah, I don't know them.
They go to...
They do another Blue Rodeo.
Another Blue Rodeo.
Yeah.
They do...
Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan, yeah, You're Building a Mystery.
Uh-huh.
They do... Celine Dion.
Oh, yeah. It's First all they coming do back Arcade to me. Fire. Yeah, right. Wake Up. Then yeah. Celine Dion.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me now. Yeah. That was a terrible rendition. Yeah. I apologize, listener. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing it, though. Sorry.
uh-huh. Yeah. And on it goes to until finally, yeah.
Brian Adams, please forgive me.
Brian Adams, there it is, yeah. Yeah, and they didn't do a couple of the bigger ones. Even.
Yeah,
we noticed they didn't do Leonard Cohen, they didn't do Joni Mitchell, they didn't do the Skater Girl.
The Skater Girl. Oh, right. Shoot, what's her name? I wanted to say Demi Moore. That's not at all.
Right.
The person.
So anyway, turns out what they had been overlooking was the fact that Kitty was preparing for the Letterkenny Adult Spelling Bee.
Yes!
That is the title of the piece, obviously. From there, we cut to scene two. It's the hockey rink locker room with the hockey boys going in to address their charges.
Wait, I'm gonna push you back a little bit. I'm gonna take us back to scene one because this is where we get our first introduction of Keep Her Hydrated. So
yeah,
we learn that Katie lost last year to Stewart.
Right.
It would have been her 10th in a row win.
Yeah.
She lost it with a silent E.
Yeah.
This gets Wayne very upset. He's standing at the window very dramatically.
Very pensive.
Right. Yes, pensive, right? I wish I could take some of her pain away.
He even rips his shirt open at one point.
Yeah, he does.
To highlight his
right.
How distraught he is.
So distraught.
Yeah.
So Wayne, Derry, and Squirrely Dan make a pact. Of course we makes a pact, Derry.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sleep. We keep her focused. We keep her inspired. We keep her hydrated.
Uh-huh. In preparation, so, yeah.
In preparation, because they're going to make sure she wins. It'll mm-hmm. be her 10-year trophy. Boom.
Right.
Okay, that, yeah. Now.
That's the most important part. You're right about that first yeah. scene.
That's okay.
We noted at the same time that there was a picture that neither one's previously yeah. noted hanging behind Wayne
yeah.
On the kitchen wall. And it stood out to me because... I know what it is. It was an image of their farmhouse,
mm-hmm.
the yard.
Their land.
Not the whole land, but the farmhouse and the surrounding
buildings.
Barn and whatnot.
Okay.
And an aerial view. And it was a photograph. And unless I miss my guess, this was something that you see on farm and ranch kitchen walls. These companies will fly around and take these photographs and then they'll come and they'll pitch them to you.
Oh.
They probably have a different modus operandi now, but back in the day, they would send you a solicitation in the mail.
Oh.
We've got with a little thumbnail, they got this image and you can buy it and get a, you know, an aerial view of your land.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's undoubtedly
so that's
what
a
that
reference
is.
To that type of.
Yeah. 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 It's just, yeah. Just like I said, it's fairly common and not everybody purchases them obviously, but many people do because especially back in the day, they were a bit of a novelty.
Right. Cause now you can head up with a drone and take your pictures, but that wasn't possible.
On Google Earth or do whatever you
right.
want. You know,
yeah.
But back in the day, yeah, nobody had quite the same degree of luxury. So that was where that stood out to me. It was indicative of that.
Yeah. We both mentioned that I had never noticed it before, so I think it might be new.
Yeah.
But then I'm wondering if it was in all of the episodes this season, and we just didn't notice it, because that seems like something they would change with the season. So, anyway. Right.
Okay.
All right.
Season.
Yeah, same one.
Scene two.
Yes.
Hockey rink, locker room, the hockey boys going in, as I said before,
mm-hmm.
and they step right into it by calling the people they're coaching girls.
Okay, girls.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And which immediately Betty Ann says, Mary Ann's not a girl.
her tits sag so low she could... she could tuck them into her joggers. Right. She's
To which Marianne says, Betty Ann's not a girl. She's got enough pubic hair to lose her keys in, along with the buoyant Canadian Tire keychain. And it goes on and on from there.
Yes.
The boys try to wade out of that by saying, it's be sorry because we called you girls, because we use the term boys for our hockey buddies, and we were just doing something similar. So we apologize for that. You're women.
We'll call you ladies.
Ladies. They land on ladies.
Right.
But none of that actually gets them out of anything, because each time they say one of the terms, the Betty Ann and Mary Ann are willing to highlight that no, the other one is not a lady.
Right.
Right.
Her Jill strap has more skid marks than a runaway truck on the coastal highway.
Yeah. That was the one. Yeah. Yeah. The other one is not a lady because she picks and flicks more boogers than a restless Dutch 8-year-old with Asperger's. Which is just magic in its specificity.
Right?
It's just like, wow.
Where, like, who even, yeah. How did you come up with that, Jerry Kiso? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just brilliant in the way that they do, yeah. So no sooner than all that goes down than the coach calls him out,
right.
From the locker room, Riley and Jonesy, that is, get out here. It's down to about 10 Degrassi junior highs out there, but did you bring your coats? Just kidding. I don't give a fuck. but he does highlight then that he has money, wagered upon their success in the upcoming spelling bee.
Yeah.
Even though everybody acknowledges that these guys are,
to quote, dog shit spellers. Yeah,
that they have no acumen whatsoever.
They do try to say that they're math guys. Yeah. I like that coach just doesn't
He walks right past you.
Right, yeah.
And begins his maniacal, as the caption said, malicious giggling.
No, his is less malicious than that, I think. No? You think about there? Did I kind of nail it?
You.
Okay. I'll keep working on it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Keep working on your malicious giggling. Send no one anywhere. Scene 3 takes us back to the farmhouse.
Yep.
Katy comes downstairs to the sounds of Wayne playing guitar. Derry immediately says, I made you a smoothie. Recounts all this good stuff he put in it.
Yeah.
Katy asks what he's doing.
Yeah, what is he doing?
He's doing Sudoku because that keeps your brain sharp, apparently. Squirrely Dan, simultaneously at the kitchen table, is lifting weights, doing bicep curls with a very small weight.
It's like 2 pounder.
And he says something similar, that exercise keeps your brain sharp.
Right, right.
And he offers a weight to her, a weight that is much larger than the one he's at.
He has her the 10 pounder.
Yeah, that he's actually working. He's doing like a 2.5. Maybe,
yeah.
Right? And that elicits then the question of why is Wayne strumming the guitar? And he says, well, playing musical instruments enhances your mental acumen by
connecting the neural pathways between the left and right hemisphere.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew you'd get that.
I don't know why I remembered that.
I don't either. She says she would just come down to get a drink, and they say, no alcohol.
No alcohol. Yeah, right.
So even though it doesn't kill brain cells, it does hurt them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does damage them. So they say, she's got to go for her 10th title. And so that's that scene.
Right. But she's offended at first that they don't think she's like focused enough. And she's like, I will win it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Anyway, you're welcome. Yep. Felt like I needed to add that.
Scene 4 takes us to Stuart's mom's basement. Yeah. Where the skids are talking about their efforts, principally in relationship to the young ladies who are interested in riding Stuart's bicycle with him.
Right, riding double with Stuart.
To the event. There's 4 of them, and they're obviously going to have to split time to accomplish that. Roald says it's 10.
The grass is always greener on the other side. Yeah. Yeah, Roald says, our bikes are outside, but grab a sweater, Stuart. It's 10, the grass is always greener on the other side.
Good roll. Good roll.
Thank you.
You're nailing it.
I love Roald. Stuart throws in a wondrous at some point.
As he's wont to do, right? Yeah. Yep. We go back to the farmhouse for scene 5, mm-hmm. where they... the Hicks share with Katie that they've got her present in advance of her efforts, that their gold teeth covers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. They would like her to fight to spell with a little more bite.
Yes. So they bought her
gold teeth fronts.
But, yeah.
But they go on her
cuspids.
Right.
On her cuspids. Exactly.
On her cuspids.
Not even on incisors. Or, right?
Which one is this?
That's...
Isn't that the bicuspid?
That's the incisor.
Oh, that's the incisor.
Maybe she did have it on the incisor.
Yeah, she had it... I don't know where she had it. She had it over here.
Yeah.
On the teeth that make the curve. Those teeth. The making the turn. Headed to the back of the mouth.
Wow. Your dental school is paying off.
Yeah, I know.
With all the terminology.
Yeah, I am such a good dentist.
So scene 6 takes us to the spelling bee, which we figured out was actually at the Ukrainian Center.
So yeah.
Fairly large, almost auditorium.
Right, we thought it was a gymnasium, right? So it's, mm-hmm. The historic Ukrainian Hall, again, features broadly in this episode. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty large building.
So we have the entrance. Come into the room. It's Riley and Jonesy with mm-hmm. Coach. It's mm-hmm. McMurray, mm-hmm. Joint Boy, Stuart, and Katie.
Yep.
Our principals.
Yep.
And we learn in the next scene, which cuts the upstairs, overlooking the auditorium, where it's Tanis, Coach, and Tyson.
Yeah.
They have all placed a bet upon the people that they believe will win. Tanis has backed Katie. Coach has the... Riley and Jonesy.
Right. Why would you do that?
and Tyson. Well, we turn out. We turns out. We know.
Well,
what.
That's true. That's
and
why
Tyson has backed
Joint Boy.
Joint Boy, because apparently when he gets stoned, he spells incredibly well.
Right. Yeah.
And so they like to keep him stoned. Right. Scene 8 is the beginning of the spelling bee, and it's MC of which is
Dickskin.
It's Jim Dickens. The auctioneer. and it gets started, and just no sooner does it begin than Squirrely Dan is provoked to stand up and tell at the top of his voice the whole crowd that he's not going to put up with any loud noises, any use of extracurricular vocalizations to distract or defeat any of the participants. To which he concludes that if anybody violates these rules, he's going to, I'll staple your tongue to your taint so you can watch me kick your ass.
I like, because he starts his tirade by saying, you think this is the PGA?
Right. Yeah.
Where everyone's like super quiet at the PGA.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want your Baba fucking Booey.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes. Which is quite the outburst for Squirrely Dan, because he...
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
he doesn't usually get so riled up and shout and swear at folks.
No.
But he is...
Very uncharacteristic.
He's very mm-hmm. protective of Katie and mm-hmm. her spelling bee. He wants her to fucking win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it begins, and it's Katie is called first. Mm-hmm. She has a regular spelling bee word. I don't recall it.
First year.
Yeah, and she rocks it, as mm-hmm. you might imagine. Yep. And then Stuart gets called and has a similar...
Disparate.
A reasonable word. Joint Boy has excused himself to the restroom
right.
so he gets stoned.
He's not there yet.
when he comes back,
but
he gets his word.
And sconce.
The Riley and Jonesy do their thing. Nobody questions the fact that they get to work as a team.
It's funny. Right, they go up together.
Yeah, and they work it out
and
together.
And their word is
hockey.
Hockey.
Their first word.
Right.
Their subsequent words are rink,
mm-hmm.
stick,
mm-hmm. Puck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as it turns out, we come to understand Coach has rigged it so that their words are inordinately easy.
Right.
Because of standardization of the order and whatnot. So,
McMurray's first word is confrere.
Right. And he muddles it through by his mumbling. He gets, he gaslights pretty much Dickens.
Yeah, he does. That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
And that establishes the basic dynamic is as long as Joint Boy's stoned, he can do well. McMurray bamboozles everybody. The hockey boys have easy stuff. And it's really only Stuart and Katie that are doing anything.
Who are actually spelling anything.
Yeah, stuff, right?
Yeah.
Goes along a number of rounds, and then they ask for... Squirrely Dan asked that there be a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he asked for a 15-minute intermission. Right. He doesn't want anybody to pass out on the stage. Right, they're going to spill themselves into a tizzy. He doesn't say tizzy,
need
but
need to hydrate, right?
Yeah, they need to hydrate. Yeah.
So when they break, Wayne has Squirrely Dan and Derry go up and talk to Dickens because they've already identified that there's buttfuckery at play.
There's buttfuckery at play, yeah.
So they go up and get the shenanigans on... Dickens
radar. Dickens. Yeah, exactly, on his radar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As so too does
Tannis
comes up and points out McMurray is botching his...
She says he's trying to pull the wool over your eyes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So when they reconvene, then they do it in random order.
Mm-hmm.
So the words aren't drawn in random, but the contestants are.
So now anybody can get any word.
Circumvent the word, the whole shenanigans.
So now we get Joint Boy gets, I mean, he was getting typical words. Mm-hmm, so he gets dithyram. My favorite part of that is that he misspells it because he's out of joints.
Yeah.
He has smoked all the joints.
Him and Tyson's been feeding him the weed as he goes to the bathroom in between rounds.
Right, right.
And as at one point Tyson said, you smoked 21 gram cannons already. How are you conscious right now? And turns out he is conscious, but he can't spell.
Can't spell
if he's
when
not
he's
totally stoned to the bejesus belt. So.
Yeah, so he misspells dithyram. And Tyson says, "There's a silent B, dumbass," and I love that.
I didn't catch that.
That's good. As the English teacher,
that's wordplay. Nothing better than classic English teacher wordplay.
Gotta love a silent B.
Right. Oh, in between the rounds, we have Stuart mocking Katie by referring to how silent easy it is.
Mm-hmm. And then she
punches him in the balls.
That's right. Yeah, sometimes Stuart needs punched in the balls.
Oh, they come back from the break and they start pulling the names out of a hat.
Yeah.
And Derry said, Derry makes the observation that Fedora is such a dumb fucking hat. To which Squirrely Dan has agreed, but I believe that's a dumb fucking trilby.
Which again, love that. Like, it's such a weird...
You don't have to do it,
but
appreciate the little extra effort. Just a little, extra effort. With the reconstituted order, then the hockey boys are drawn with the word Bosky, and they go up together and try to figure it out. Even though now that, you know, it's obviously a word that beyond their capacity.
But I love that they say, "Well, it sounds like Broski."
Yeah,
and they go
it
back.
It sounds
and
like
forth,
Broski,
right?
And Jonesy's like, "Yeah, I think it's maybe we just take the R out of Broski," which they would have been correct. to which Riley says, "I don't think there's an R in Broski."
They're such dog shit spellers.
"I don't think there's an R in Broski." And it's so well played. They're so in tune with their characters.
Right?
Yeah, they're so good. Right?
So they misspell it. Yeah. So Joint Boy is out because he missed the silent B, dumbass. Riley and Jonesy don't know how to spell Bosky, so they're out.
Yeah, McMurray goes out when he mumbles his way through a word, penalty.
Right.
And we
should talk about why we know he misses it.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Tannis does this because Tanis also has money on it. And so she pulls out a tape recorder and says, she makes reference to Dick Tracy in that movie. And she's like, he used a similar recording device and he was able to slow down the dialogue of a character appropriately named Mr. Mumbles. So she plays back McMurray and to show that he really truly did misspell penalty, which he was trying to convince Dickskin that he had spelled it correctly.
Doing his gaslighting.
Right. Yep. So McMurray's out. So now we're down to Katie and Stuart.
Mm-hmm.
And the word is
Triskaidekaphobia.
That's it. It's not Triscuits. It's not a fear of Triscuits, I'll tell you that.
It's a fear of the letter 13.
Right, which they... Yeah.
We already made mention of previously, and Katie had noted that it's the most common word used in spelling bees, so she was very well prepared.
She's like, I know how to fucking spell that word.
Yeah. And she spells it, and according to the word that's on the screen, then she is misspelling.
Right.
And that, under the rules of the elimination round, then the final adversary can steal the word and therefore end the competition right there.
Right, if they can spell it properly.
So, Stuart's up and he spells it correctly according to what's on the screen, but we learn immediately from Tanis.
Again, stepping in.
That it's incorrect. That Katie had actually spelled it correctly.
Yes.
Therefore, Stuart had spelled it incorrectly.
Mm-hmm.
And therein lies the championship.
And so Katie wins her 10-year trophy. Fuck yeah! She stayed hydrated, focused, inspired, and won the goddamn spelling bee.
With a silent I.
Yes!
And 10 out of 11. Right? Probably still feels a sting of not getting 10 in a row.
Goddamn silent E.
No, 10 in a row, but no less.
Walk around with the stink of that spelling.
Yep.
That's a direct reference to something Wayne says earlier. So then we get, in the same scene, Jonesy and Riley are sitting there, and they get a text from Coach, and they're like, oh, he's going to be so mean to us. He's so pissed.
And it's the text from Coach. It starts out,
Dear Pheasants,
as he often refers to him. It's fucking embarrassing, but they read it, it's fucking embracing. Which that was icing on the cake, as I see it. This icing on the cake that he's figured out that the problem with the hockey girls, females,
right,
is that they're both, Betty Ann and Marianne, are both in love with the same guy.
Yes.
And he leaves it to the hockey boys to figure it out. Right? So that's the subject of upcoming episodes.
Yes.
But we already know who it is through intuition and the fact that we see...
Scene 10, which is not even a scene.
Yeah.
But...
it's Shorzy in his classic upside down in the shower. Back to the camera. Naked as a jaybird.
That's right.
Saying...
Give your balls a tug, you tit fucker.
And you guys probably know as well as we do, right, that Shorzy, the character, has been tapped to have its own series.
Yeah, and I'm so curious about how his spinoff is
soon to come out.
Yeah.
There's already been a teaser trailer dropped, and the latest episode of the latest series season of has shown references to him leaving Letterkenny.
He went to play with
the premise is he goes north to play on a better hockey team,
right? And
so that's all that dynamic. So that's to come. So pretend
less of a whale ship
portends some more joy to be had with that character. And
give your balls a tug.
Yep. So, which we appreciate it till now. Be anybody's guess if it can carry the weight in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about the whole spinoff based on Shorzy.
Yeah,
but we know that our writers are really good. So.
Yeah, and, if I could see them doing it well, especially if they populate it with similar characters, or even some of the old characters come along for the ride.
Maybe Gale opens
a different
bar up
there. Which we notice is that Gail is absent from this season right. for the most part that we've noticed, you know, and what another reference this episode of her being her. Gone to the South American singles resort.
Right.
Yeah. And how that affords, it's lucky that Bonnie McMurray has this other opportunity at the
right.
Ukrainian center.
Ukrainian hall, yeah.
Yeah, so that works out well.
Yeah.
No? So any other thoughts, additional?
Well, what was your favorite part of this episode? Because we had the long-running joke about the Canadian singer-songwriter. We had the long-running joke about the 10 degrees.
Right.
Is there anything, like, what was your favorite part of?
Yeah, those runs where they do the riff on the, like, things like the Canadian singer-songwriters, that's always fun because they, you know, they go into places that, you know, you usually know their references, but they tend to be quite creative in their weaving them into it. You know, they,
yes, yeah.
You know, they, yeah. they noted Gordon Downie, the singer of the Tragically Hip. You know, and we've talked about him before.
Yeah.
Right? Tragic figure in the sense that died of brain cancer, but in a fascinating, amazing, in fact, moment of, you know, their final concert and how it was broadcast all around Canada and, mm-hmm. and was just a national event, you know.
Yeah.
Really hundreds of thousands of Canadians tuned in on national TV to watch, you know, this final concert by this beloved figure in a way that, you know, we might have even similar numbers in the U.S. that would attend someone, but you wouldn't have that higher percentage of
America.
No, you know?
It was,
it'd be something like, it would be honestly something like, you know, 5 to 10 million Americans.
Yes.
It would
like the Super Bowl.
It would be bigger than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, viewership of larger than the Super Bowl.
It's almost astronomical.
They tuned in to watch him sing his last concert because
he was dying of brain cancer. Is something I wouldn't know anything about. And so it I like the fact that they can weave in those references to their own cultural traditions mm-hmm. and stuff, and that an element of creativity. So I'd say that's probably at or near the top of this episode, you know, that example in this case. How about yourself?
I think I really like, I'm sure they've done this before, but this was the first time it stood out to me that they did a joke that they called back to with each different character set with the degrees. So each character group got to make a reference to the degrees thing.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny because that just showed the, like, it gives you the impression that everybody in Letterkenny has the same inside joke,
mm-hmm.
but it's just such good writing. And that's like,
no, I agree. That would've been my, that'd been my 1B to my 1A.
Yeah.
And it's magnified to my mind because it's apropos of nothing. Like there's no preface.
Yeah,
there's
they
don't explain it when it first comes on, and they never explain it. And we figured it out.
We did.
Not immediately, but we figured it out, you know. And they've done similar things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beauty in that.
Yeah.
They just expect the viewership to catch up.
Yeah.
And
they're not going to explain it.
No, they're not spoon feeding. And it's not super highbrow. So it's not like you have to have a, you know, an attachment to the canon to get it, you know.
It's not a deep Shakespeare reference.
No, but it's also, you know, it's somewhere between, you know, just dick and fart jokes and some sort of, you know, super cerebral thing. It's somewhere in between that, you know, demands a certain cultural affinity and awareness.
Yes.
But also not, you can't be too stuffy to get.
Right. Yeah. Know? I mean, I could see, you know, actual English professors, you know, at like the Yales of the world going, oh, that's silly. Oh my goodness.
That's droll.
Oh, so lowbrow. Uh-huh. Right? But you're right that it does pull on, like, you have to have a certain awareness. You have to get the references.
Yeah.
And so you have to understand the pop culture references.
Yeah.
You have to also understand a little bit of well, the English language. And you have to like take the time to think about what are they referencing? Because you could walk past it.
No.
And I think that's why it's an extra like little treat.
It is.
Because you could just ignore it and you don't miss anything.
It's a little bon mot right in the middle
there
of the whole thing.
Little enjoyment
just right in the... And, you know, and we've long noted this as the thing that we appreciated from the jump.
Is that what she appreciates about me?
That's one of the things. But they've... and they do it so well... from the beginning of the episode and or beginning of the whole series, but it demands, it really actually demands that you use the closed captions.
So when we first started, I wrote down the words dialogue, representation, and absurdity. And I think this is a great example of dialogue and absurdity.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, representation is also equally important element that we've always appreciated.
Yes.
And I think in this episode that's represented by the fact that the, you know, the female hockey players.
Yes.
That you know,
Betty Ann and Marianne. Hell yeah, right. Ladies, girls, women, whatever you want to be.
And not just being athletes, as you know, that's even less now than it's ever been, thankfully, as an alternative, right? It's it's been normalized in important ways in our lifetimes. But then they're taking it to the next level, which is they're in there doing this shit talking.
Yes.
Which is you know, reminiscent of anything you expect in locker rooms.
Right. It's for what good or for ill. Seen for right. The shootsy bartsy, right? Yeah. Like we saw that. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Jonesy and Riley with Shorzy, right? But now we see it with Betty Ann and Marianne doing what I have been calling a mitt down. Because when they first did it, it was about their mitts. So
yeah, they didn't make reference to mitts this time.
Yeah, no
mitts. But they got to mix it up. They got to, you know, it's good to
They referenced pubic hair, which is, you know, in the mitt region.
Yeah,
so
pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well.
Yeah, it's been 51 minutes. That was another terrible reference to a song. Sorry, listener.
That's actually another Canadian group.
No shit. Yeah. I did not plan that.
Yeah. You did not plan that?
No.
What is that? Bare Naked Ladies.
Wait, they're Canadian too?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
Are there any musicians who aren't Canadian?
I know. When you think about it, right? They're all over the place, right?
Goddamn Canadians.
They walk among us.
They do.
Right? Unless you ask them, you know, to say the word about...
Otherwise, you don't know.
You never know, right?
You'll never know. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, I wish I could make some reference to the great Canadian singer-songwriter who has a song that says, that's titled The End.
The End, right?
But I'm not that smart.
Nah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're smart. You're that smart, but you're not. We're not that well connected. So, there we go. That's enough for today anyway, isn't it?
I think so.
All right. Meatloaf's burning. So, we got to go.
Not a singer-songwriter reference.
Bye now.